Are we recording? Oh, it says record. That's a good start. Hello, hey, everyone.
Right, hang on. Are we putting this out video as well?
Yeah, sod it.
Are we?
Yeah, sod it.
Are we?
100% put out on video. Well, I've done my hair for this.
No, have you?
Have you done yours?
Freshly shaved. What are we doing?
Right.
Hang on.
What now?
It's my
intro.
All I'm doing.
This is my bit. For once, I get to do an intro. For once.
All I'm doing is making the video switch really quick.
Right. Professional.
All right. Okay.
Welcome to your Pure Gym's personal training fitness coach podcast. And not live Q&A, an unlive Q&A. Your very first one in this little format because Facebook likes to mess us about. So we're going to start from scratch because what are them hands about? Not King Kong's balls. Ping pong balls. Have you seen that bit in Phoenix Nights?
No, we've got to be professional now, mate, because it's...
All right. Oh, sugar I have.
Yeah.
I said sugar, though. That's good.
Yeah.
Right. Listen up. This is new. We're starting fresh. Not because the old ones were crap, because we're really good. But fact is, Facebook like to mess us about. So we're going to have to do it this way from now on until we get a new way of doing it. So, welcome to your first podcast. We are your hosts. Can't believe I've just said that. We are going to go through a bit of an intro and a background from us because there's at least 30 to 40 new members in the group every single week that Nick lets in and welcomes. So they can hear a little bit about our background, and it seems like a good place to start this, seeing as though it's the first one. And then today's topic is going to be on lead generation at this time of year, to really help you out with the do's and the don'ts and to help you manage your expectations and to go from there. So that's me, Nick. That's my intro. I finally got a bit of limelight at the start. Talk to me about... I don't need these notifications.
I know, they're annoying.
Distracting me. Nicholas.
Hello.
Talk to me about your background, where you've come from, and why you haven't grown since you were 12.
Did you hear no one laugh then? No one's laughing at all.
Come on!
You boxhead.
We're not editing this. Don't edit it. This is on brand. This is right on brand. Where's your Pure Gym top?
There.
All right, I'll let you off. Go on.
So I am going into my 20th year in the industry. Wow, good. Started off, so did like BTEC Sports Science and BSc and HND and all that kind of stuff in sports science, but it really didn't give me much. I wanted to be a PT to work within the fitness specific industry since I was like 15, 16. And so my first job in a gym was when I was about 17, and it was a gym supervisor of this little gym in the college, which was converted from like an old squash court. And we just had like a Smith machine, one of the old exercise bikes, a couple of benches, and that was it. And then went through uni, did that, and then come out with a couple of qualifications, which are just very, very generic and generalized. Like you would spend a semester on skill acquisition and a semester on, I don't know, sports psychology. And so there was loads of little bits, loads of little modules that I had, but I just wanted to do fitness. And so I came out and then did my, level three during that time, came out, got a job in a little hotel gym doing fitness tests and testing swimming pools and cleaning saunas and sitting on a desk and doing all that kind of stuff. And then lasted about 6 months there, and then buggered off on a cruise ship for about four years, something like that, where it was literally like thrown into the deep end. Really, really aggressive sales techniques, being in like the corporate American environment, where you had to sell classes, you had to sell PT, you had to sell products, you had to deliver seminars, you had to basically run a whole little mini business, but have targets, as you know, weekly targets to hit anywhere from 10 to 20 grand worth of revenue. And so I did that for 4 years, saw the world, made a load of money, spent a load of money. Come back, ran my own PT business for a while out of a couple of different gyms, did classes, Group X, and then went to Australia for about 3.5 years, and I got into like more S&C, CrossFit, qualified as a CrossFit coach out there, worked in a few boxes, bits and pieces, but amazing time out there. Come back, worked in a couple of other little gyms like Sporter and Virgin and stuff, and then found Pure Gym nearly 10 years ago now. So I joined at Club 8, I think it was. So I opened Birmingham City Centre Gym. And then I think that was kind of the real realisation of the state of play in the UK for PTs. Because I was obviously, this model was brand new, like 10 years ago, Pure Gym was you know, it was a brand new model. The model, PT model before that was kind of, you're employed and you take, and the gym takes a cut and you get revenue share. But this was like, right, you do hours for free, essentially, instead of paying for your rent, and you get to keep 100% of your revenue, which was, for me, that was just like, wow, that's amazing. And so I managed, managed six Pure Gyms from Birmingham to Cardiff over the course of like 5 years. And I just found that PTs were coming in, and when I did my level three, it was like 16 weeks long, full time. And it'd be condensed to about 4 to 6 weeks. And they were coming in, they were just like, just no idea of how to run a business acumen. Even things like fitness testing protocols and actually having the confidence of writing a program and stuff like that was just non-existent. So the coaching skills that I used with clients to help them lose weight and get fitter, it was the same. It was a very simple transition to coaching PTs to, you know, run their businesses. And that developed over 5 years. And then we got this role like nearly 5 years ago now, wasn't it? It was like March, about 5 years ago. And so over the last 5 years, we've obviously built up this bank of information. We've continually learned about what PTs want, need. Our own kind of content has developed massively over the last 5 years. And that's kind of what we do now. We support PTs and put the strategy in place of supporting PTs from a distance, I guess, more than anything else, through the Facebook group and emails and our courses, etc. And yeah, so that is me. Still coach now, still coaching a CrossFit gym every other week. Don't really have any clients anymore particularly. But we obviously do a lot of mentoring and whatnot outside of Pure, and that's us.
How long have I got left? About 3 minutes. We said, just an FYI for everyone, we said we try and cut these ones.
No, you said.
Nick just spoke about himself for 27 minutes. And here's everyone thinking I'm the bloody self-obsessed one around here. Do you know what I mean?
You asked me, what was your question?
Not,
tell us about your background.
Tell me, Nick, tell us about your life for the past 20 years. It wasn't that. That wasn't the question.
That was my background. That was a Sean version of a background.
Right. So,
okay,
I'll have a bit of the camera. I'll have a bit of the camera now. So, I'll be quicker than Nick, 100% will. 15 years, personal trainer, still PT now. Don't talk, Nick. Still PT now. online and offline. Started out in Fitness First as an 18-year-old as a fitness consultant. That's what they used to call it. And did that for about 18 months, 2 years. Qualified with NASM when I was 21 as a level 3 PT. And then PT within Fitness First for that length of time until they went bump. So that was about 8 years. Went into a PT studio, mainly worked with corporate males in that time. And in that time, started to look and do S&C qualifications and transferred a lot of my clients and some combat athletes, so combat as in rugby league, MMA, stuff like that, into the studio with me. Carried on that for quite a few years. Also doing a bit of mentoring for PTs who were coming off the level 2 and level 3. Started to find a passion into that. And that's kind of what, in a nutshell, I'm missing about a year out here, but that's kind of what brought me back into the commercial gym world. But to still obviously PT as well. Been doing this role, like I just said to Nick, for 5 years. And within that time, have noticed huge change within the business and within the industry, all for the good compared to where it was. And our main passion, I would definitely say it is a passion without sounding really, really cheesy, is to put the resources and tools in place to help you as PTs stay within the business. I think that is now my main passion over coaching, even though I still coach, because I think there's some easy fixes when it comes to personal trainers staying within the industry, and commercial gyms can help them out more, and you're lucky enough to work within the pure gym, for the pure gym, within the pure gym. You're lucky enough to work, you're lucky enough to work here, and at this moment in time, we are miles ahead of anyone else with regards to the PT business support. And that's come off the back of obviously mine and Nick's experience and the 30-plus years of experience we have, plus a great, unbelievable mentor team that support in each region, all with their own experiences and education and knowledge and so on. So the personal training and retention of personal trainers within Pure Gym, as self-employed PTs, it's never been in a better place. So hopefully this podcast and the weekly video that goes into the group can add to that. That's definitely enough about me. I'm sure you'll hear more about me in the videos and my background and stuff, because we'll refer a hell of a lot to what we did or what happened, how we would use things or do things and so on. So that's more than enough about me and definitely enough about Nick. So let's start with... what do you think, especially at this time of year, is a pretty sensitive time of year, because I reckon over the next 3 months it could probably make or break a personal trainer's business if they set themselves up wrong. And although it might carry through the year, it might have you having poor time management problems and so on. What types of things would you make sure that the personal trainers try and avoid from a lead generation point of view over the next 2-3 months? So what things would you avoid if you were starting out again, or advice you to pass on?
Okay. This is no particular order, but I think the first thing is there's such a big build up to this time of year for the industry that you can be disappointed very quickly. And that can lead to a lot of demotivation. Is that a word? Demotivation?
It is now.
There you go. It can lead to you feeling unmotivated because your expectations haven't been particularly met through maybe talking to other PTs or just how you view the industry. So the first thing is I would definitely realign your expectations of this time of year, because as Ant said, like, yes, people are on a bit of a health kick. You know, that's no secret whatsoever. They're more inclined to invest, especially, you know, over the next kind of 3 weeks when people get paid again towards the end of the month. You know, you'll find a lot of people probably inquire about PT. The first thing I would say off the back of that is manage your expectations upon that. Like, don't just have it in your head that that's just going to happen. It will to a certain extent, but there's loads of variables and scenarios that can create. So the first thing I would say is realign your expectations on what that, on how that's going to happen. The second thing is never, ever, ever wait for that to happen. Like, never just sit back and, oh, people will start to buy and inquire, you know, in the next couple of weeks. Like, it's, you're sitting back and wishing and hoping for stuff. And again, like, if that doesn't come through, then how are you going to move your business forward? How are you going to build up? So for me, if I was going to walk into a gym full time now as a PT, I would be absolutely obsessed with generating interactions and leads. So number one, I'm not relying on that quote unquote rush at the end of the month or the new year, new me kind of craze. That's at the start of every year. I would be absolutely obsessive about getting my name out there, interacting with as many people as possible, understanding my market. So that is the very first thing I would, I guess it's a bit of a heads up, a bit of a warning, I guess, to a certain extent. And then the second thing I would then do is I would definitely 100% put some filters in place so that when I'm generating these leads, or from a proactive standpoint, so what I mean by that, just to spell it out, for me, getting out there, getting on the gym floor, face-to-face with people, talking to them, interacting. So there's that side. And then also from people inquiring directly to me through social or through emails or whatnot, I would have some filters in place to filter the right people into my business. So I would have an auto response for emails coming in, social media. I would have a pre-consult form set out. I would have a scheduled phone call to go in before the consultation is even confirmed or booked in. I would make sure that I know who I want to work with and get filters in place so I can recognize that. I think they're the two, the biggest ones for myself. That's two things I would really, really, really concentrate on. About you?
Just off the back of what you've just said on managing your expectations, I think there's two sides to this. Exactly what you've just said, managing your expectations regards to time of year and how it's built up and perceived. So yeah, I agree with that. I think the other side of managing your expectations, and I don't know if you mentioned it then, but is on the level of consistency on what you expect for your return. So I've talked about this quite heavily recently, whether it's to PTs or in gyms or online or whatever, that I think one of the biggest problems that you're going to come across as a personal trainer is your own confidence to go and speak to people you don't know. That them social skills, interpersonal skills, communication and listening is the biggest, one of the biggest parts of your role, or two of the biggest parts of your role. But a lot of personal trainers find it uncomfortable. A lot of people find it uncomfortable, never mind personal trainers. So I think the way you view lead generation, especially at this time of year when it can be very, very overwhelming with how busy the gym is crucial. If you view lead generation as a way to sell, directly sell to people, you're going to struggle, in my opinion, and you're going to be constantly in a numbers game with yourself and constantly chasing something that potentially isn't there because of the way you are perceiving yourself and the way you are portraying yourself on the gym floor, or the lack of value you've then built up, okay? So that would be kind of my first one. And then when we are building the confidence to go out on the gym floor and to be a little bit more proactive and approachable and relatable and add value and so on, it can't be either I've done this for 1 week and then I'm not doing it again, or I've done this for 1 week and built up 30 leads. I've then emailed them leads from the gym floor and none of them leads have replied to me. So you then think, oh, actually, lead generation is a waste of my time. So there's no point in me doing that because actually I get more leads from my classes. So the reason why, and I think lead generation from a class is crucial and definitely should be part of your role, by the way, as a personal trainer. But the reason why I bring that up is because when you're waiting for people to come to you, and you've just touched on it and we talk about it all the time, but I think it's good to go back over it. When you're waiting for people to come to you, it's completely reactive and they're in control of most of the things that happen. When you go to them and you directly know who you want to approach, where you want to approach, the times you want to approach them, potentially the level of understanding you have from a consumer psychology point of view or a human behavior point of view or their goals or their frustrations, their fears, their barriers. If you've got that bank of understanding about someone, it makes it so much easier for you to go out on the gym floor and have a general conversation with someone without any pressure of selling, because you've got no right at that point to directly sell to someone who has no value, holds no value for you at all. So I said, my biggest one, and this comes back to me as well, when I first started out in the industry three years in, I constantly talk about this on kind of these podcasts, on live Q&As, on when I'm delivering courses and so on, is I was nervous, self-conscious about going out on the gym floor and speaking to people I didn't know. And I think it's because we reach out of our comfort zone so much, and if we don't get a direct return, that short-term gratification that we're looking for, we never do it again, which is, if you flip that onto the other foot, if you were to turn around and say to a client, right, what I want to do is track your MyFitnessPal or your nutrition for this amount of time, or comply to this approach or this training approach, and they didn't do that in a consistent way, personal trainers 9 times out of 10 blame the client, when really it's the approach that's potentially wrong for them, or it's just so uncomfortable for them, they just can't consistently achieve that. Mm-hmm. And you then start to talk about ingraining habits and ingraining behaviors. Ingraining habits and behaviors is exactly the same for nutrition and exercise as it is for something like lead generation and marketing. It's uncomfortable to us, but we need to do it repeatedly to be able to get a return and result, and then my competency and confidence to go through the roof of it so I can continue to do it. So I think that would be my first couple that I'd ramble on about. Anything else? Any others?
Yes. Tracking. I think it, like you just touched on then, and we've had a few conversations with this with a few PTs over the last few weeks. You know, we've been talking a lot about the check-in process, and that it's kind of hit and miss with a lot of the guys that they're working with. And the fact is that if they don't have value behind what they're checking in and understanding of what that means to their overall goal, then the compliance is going to go down to doing that. So if you're lead generating, you're putting in that effort, and you know, you've got to track what happens. First of all, you've got to track, like, okay, so I spent 5 hours out of this week on the gym floor trying to generate leads, you know, and at the end of the week I've got 2 leads. Okay, so what were the inputs off the back of that? Well, I set up a desk at the front where people can come and talk to me, but then that only generated 2 leads. Okay, so off the back of that 5 hours, the return on investment is 2 leads. How can you improve that the following week? Well, actually, instead of me waiting, I might just actually meet and greet people, say hello, introduce myself, and that. And after that week, that might have gone up to like 15 to 20 leads. Okay, so what I'm going to do with that now, so after that 15, 20 leads, I can send them an email, this how many people opened. Like, that is, it takes the guesswork and the hope out of marketing at the end of the day and lead generation. And unfortunately, we're not, you know, personal trainers, we're not good at marketing. You know, what do you do on your level 3? Design a poster is pretty much what we do in regards to the advertising side of things on your level 3. So it's, there's no, that's not a secret, you know, we're not great at marketing. So, and this is why we break it down really simply, really, you know, you've got to interact with people. After those interactions, you've got to find out what their wants, their needs are, their barriers, their challenges. You've got to build up a level of trust so they trust you and see you as the authority. You've got to give them something that builds up value in your service and how you can deliver. And you've got to track that process. Otherwise, like you just said, you're not going to understand the return on your investment at the end of the day. So I think 100%, like, whether it's a little, like, even if it's a basic, like I used to do at the end, I used to have a kind of an A5 diary sessions, obviously booked in, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of each day, it used to be sessions delivered, cancellations, how many people I spoke to, consultations booked, and just simple stuff like that. And so at the end of the week, I usually tally it up and understand what's kind of happened. And that's just from a, you know, even if it's that basic, you're going to have a lot more information.
Which, what you send over, isn't it, in the emails that you send when they come.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're watching this and you're thinking, well, how can I do this? How can I do that?
My light's gone off. Sorry.
Hi. if you go back to the, I send every new joiner, that a new PT in the first week, like I sent today, an email. And then the second email is a link to a bunch of templates from profit and loss, how to manage that, break even numbers, how to track your leads, how to record the information, all that kind of stuff. It's there for you to use if you want to. But if it's as simple as just writing it down, and I think off the back of those kind of tips that we've given there, you know, you do this like aggressively every single day. That's the only way you're going to start to ingrain this into your working habits. And that's, you know, when we're talking about habits and behaviors, you've got to be relentless at making yourself do this every single day. And so that is ingrained, because unless you do that, you're never going to understand how successful something is or isn't. And then managing a process based on not measuring it, you're just hoping. You're going off perceptions and beliefs that may not be reality, let's say.
Okay. So a few things not to do, turn around with, I suppose, the positives and how to go about things. These three or four things that anyone listening to this or watching this could grab and apply or change their mindset towards lead generation straight away. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that was ticking like a box in my head then was how we deliver the foundation and advanced courses when it comes to lead generation and marketing. And if you've been on them courses and took in that information, the likelihood, one of the last things you will apply is lead generation marketing and the processes that you've learned because of how uncomfortable it is. So just to kind of remind everyone, and I think we'll give some ideas at the end of what to do and so on, but just to remind everyone, essentially, for people to know, like, and trust you enough to then buy from you, they need to do this over time. Like, it's no surprise that the majority, if you were to look inside your business now, however busy it is, I don't really care, but if you were to look inside your business now and go, right, which clients are actually causing me problems, then look back at how you brought them in, I guarantee that was quite a quick transition from it being a normal gym member to a paying client. And what we want to do is lengthen that kind of transition into your business out and more or less onboard someone in whilst gathering their information about what they struggle with, their barriers, upcoming events, all of that type of stuff. And the best way, I think, to frame this, and I think we deliver it quite well in the foundation, what the mentors do, and in the advanced, is we need to think about kind of five-ish points of contact to what types of stuff do you need to go out on the gym floor and start to support and help people with. And that might be, we talk on the advanced course about creating awareness or attention, depending on what type of person you are. If you're a really outgoing person and you can go out on the gym floor, easily interact people, you can absolutely create, I suppose, attention on you and they'll buy into you instantly. But that doesn't mean to say that you can instantly bring someone into your business just because they like you or like the look of you or anything like that. Or creating awareness of you. And that can be the general interaction on the gym floor, the meet and greet stuff we've just talked about. And then off the back of that is, how can I create interest in actually what I do? And that might be like, you've done a questionnaire, you've done a survey. It's come up that they're really struggling with, for example, training at this time of year with the gyms being so busy. Mm-hmm. And you built them a bit of a template to go and use in a small space with one or two pieces of kit that you've sent to them via email because you took their email off you and considered GDPR and all of that type of stuff. And you've sent them that. They've applied it. There's been a follow-up in place, which then creates desire. Like, maybe they start to look at programming with you, or they start to talk about nutrition. You send them a food diary and back in. You might then put on a nutrition seminar in your club or something like that that then gets them to a point of wanting to take action coming into your business. So I think, if there's no process in place now, so what I'm saying is, one of the things that people get wrong is they have no process, which we've just talked about. And now what that does is put a process in place, and it's just as much for you, that process, as it is for them. It's helping you gather information about them so I can sit there in a consultation. And that might sound a bit cheesy. To me, this is how my head works with it. It's I can sit there in a consultation next to them and go, right, I've got to know you over the past 2 or 3 weeks. This is your lifestyle situation. This is job. This is this. This is when you train. This is when you can't train. And these are the things that frustrate you. You've tried this in the past. You've tried Weight Watchers, Slimming World, and so on. And you keep putting the weight back on after you've lost it. So this is my package, prescription, service that I feel like I can recommend you. And that's off the basis of the evidence that you built from getting to know them. So that process is, yes, it might be a bit of a long process. It might go on for bloody 6 months in some cases. But what you want is people who come into your business who are ready to change and ready to buy. You don't really want them people that are in between, I suppose, like contemplation stage or and need a little bit more help towards their change of behaviours or their readiness to buy. At that point, they probably need a little bit more convincing, which is, and I know I'm going off on a tangent now, which is probably why when you sit in a consultation, you get some barriers thrown at you about maybe cost or anything like that. And that's simply because the value has not been delivered and they're not ready to change as much as the price that you're throwing out there right now. So just loads of things to consider in that and loads of things to consider before. All right, so last 5 minutes or so. What type of lead generation ideas do you think are really good in a commercial gym, in a pure gym, for this time of year as the gyms get a hell of a lot busier and it can become quite overwhelming for PTs?
So I think, I'll just break really, really simple. Meet and greets, dead easy. Only because people are feeling out of place, not feeling like they belong in that area. If they're new members, which will get loads this time of the year, never walked into a gym before. So a meet and greet. And what I mean by that is literally I would always make eye contact first before I approach someone, give them a thumbs up or a little bit of a passing morning or afternoon, and then give it a few minutes, make eye contact again, approach them, just say, hi, I'm Nick the trainer. I'm on the gym floor for the next half an hour. If you need anything, just come and grab me. I'll be around. What was your name again? Doris. Hi, Doris. See you in a bit. Have a good workout. Doris is back. I don't even know a Doris. Like, I don't know why I use Doris. Anyway, so there's that. Dead simple. Not a meet and greet where they can meet you. Like you being out there and picking the areas, being smart with the areas of the gym that you're in, that beginners will go in more. So meet and greet, health checks, just easy health checks where you do like you help weigh them in, maybe blood pressure, things like that. Just dead simple. Again, all it is to generate a conversation. People want to know that kind of stuff after Christmas. They're searching for that type of information. So health checks would be good. Technique corrections, an easy one. Giving food diaries out after your classes. I think that's a given this time of year as well. People are on a health kick. They're looking to change things. You could engage them in that way. I would say keep it simple. Those four are just dead quick and easy.
Yeah, the only one I'd add to that, and it's the only one I am going to add because we could probably sit here all day and list about 50, 60 of different things, but I want to add a bit of context into why I'd throw this out there is because at this time of year when it's so busy and there's a volume of people and you may not be comfortable with speaking to people you don't know, I feel like a questionnaire or a survey is just really, really good to break down barriers. It's an excellent way for you to break down the perception of you and get to know people and really understand their problems, frustrations, their barriers, their fears, and essentially just give you an opportunity to listen to all of that and get it down. The types of questions I would ask on a questionnaire would be like how long you've been a member of the gym, because they might be brand new. That can lead off into so many different things, like have you been to a class before? Have you had one of the inductions? Anything like that. It also gives you an opportunity to start to talk about if they've been to another gym before, previous experience, previous personal trainer, their nutrition age. So what I mean by that is the same as training age. So like, how long have they been self-aware of different types of nutrition approaches and things like that, and training approaches. Main goals and the reasons they've joined the gym is obviously always a good question. You can get that down. Be interesting to try and get some feedback on how long they've been trying to achieve that goal as well. Because again, that gives you more fuel for your fire further down the line to support them through email list, social media, or within the gym for anything else. Ask them what they've tried in the past and what's worked well, what's not worked well. I think that's sometimes a good question. And jump in if I'm missing anything off, mate. Main barriers that they have, so you can start to see what they're up against, is normally a good question. Likes and dislikes, their preferences actually, is normally a good question. So likes and dislikes when it comes to training and exercise, because there's nothing worse. And it's one of my biggest moans at the moment. Personal trainers who moan about their clients not doing their plans or programs away from them, but actually not giving them anything in that program that they actually like and enjoy, or it's in an environment, a gym that they're not comfortable in. And then a good way to close it, a questionnaire or a survey, is to see their readiness to change. And I know they might tell you what you want to hear, but something like how motivated you are out of 10, something like that right now. And off the back of it, what's got you to that point? 9 times out of 10 this time of year, you're going to say, new year, new me. Like, I needed to get a grip of it. I've got holidays coming up, all of that type of stuff. But there are some, in my opinion, really good conversations that you can have. You can get that down. You can data collect. And then you can start to really define your market and serve your market and add value to your market on social media, email, and within the gym, just off the back of that questionnaire and survey. So that would be my one and only one that I'd concentrate on, if I'm honest. All right. I reckon we've done enough on this one.
Yes.
What would you say, one take-home point from this for them, to summarise the podcast and the video that can help support someone? We'll do one each.
It's two, but it's one at the same time.
All right. It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Take action. And you've got to do something different to achieve something different.
Well, would you look at Tony Robbins there, eh? Bloody hell.
Mic drop.
My only one would be that you need to manage your expectation. Don't interrupt me in my moment of motivation. My only one would be to manage your expectations and be consistent with your approaches.
That's two.
Manage your expectations, be consistent with your approaches, not just on the gym floor, but the follow-up. And as they say, Nick, shall I leave it with this? The fortune is in the follow-up. Bye, everyone. That was a great podcast, a great video. We'll see you all soon. Anton, Nick signing out.
Bye.